Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Hebrews, chapter 9, we'll read verses 6 through 15 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come in a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for all that you've done for us. Lord, never once this week have I asked you that I would preach a good sermon. But I have begged you over and over that you would fill me to give your people the truth that they need. Oh, I guess someday I'd like to preach a good sermon. I'm not worried about that. I just want your people to get the truth that you have for them as you want them to have it. As I yield to the Holy Spirit, I pray that our people would yield to the Holy Spirit so that he could communicate that which I cannot and do it in such a way that would be pleasing to you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. The book of Hebrews is one of my favorite books of the Bible. If someone said you could only have one book of the Bible and you had to throw the rest away, what would you choose, preacher? I really believe it would be the book of Hebrews. To me, the book of Hebrews is kind of a mini Bible within the Bible. It takes the Old Testament and the New Testament and ties it all together. It not only shows what they did in the Old Testament, but shows the fulfilling of it in the New Testament and the application of it today. And I by the way, too many theologians, preachers, and denominationalists try to use symbols and types to say things that God does not say. Let me say that again. I'm waiting for an amen. Too many theologians, preachers, and denominationalists try to use symbols and types to say things that God does not say. Amen. Well, brass is the symbol of judgment. Show me in the scripture. God does not say brass is a symbol of judgment. When God uses types and symbols, he said the seed is the word of God. So the seed is a picture of the word of God. Yes, that's a symbol. But I don't know that one is the number of unity and two is the number of this and three is the number of God and four is the number of this and all that garbage. That's some theologian, some denominationalist that wants to say something God did not say. Now, you might make it applicable sometimes, but I'll show you, unless God says this is a picture of this, guess what? It's just man's guess. Just man's guess. Everybody doing all right? Well, they try to make the Bible spooky. We're going to show you the hidden, spooky, mysterious things of God. Anybody that has to make the word God sound like God scares me. Amen? Now, I know the people up in Maine talk funny. But Brother Barnes doesn't get up and say God. Amen? Everybody doing all right? By the way, there's enough in the Word of God that we do know. Why do we try to preach what we don't know? Why does man want to make it say something God did not say? Hang on. We're going somewhere. You got mad at me before. You're going to kill me now. God does not need some self-styled man to tell us what God did not say. These people look for what God did not say, listen to this, because they're unwilling to obey what God did say. They speak in types and symbols to impress you with their knowledge, but usually those are the people that are not out knocking on doors telling others about Jesus Christ. They're as dead as a year ago's Christmas tree. I got to be careful how we say that, because some of you, your tree's still alive. Amen. People are not smart. People are not spiritual because they think they can tell you what God did not say. People are spiritual when they're obeying what God did say. I've met enough smart people and theologians in my life to not ever want to be one. Everybody doing all right? Some of the most spiritual, most biblically sound people I have ever known truly did not believe they were spiritual. Dr. Jack Hiles may be the best Christian I ever met in my whole life. I do know he was the greatest Bible teacher I ever met and preacher in my life. You know what? He honestly believed he wasn't that good. I spent thousands of hours around and with him. I know what I'm talking about. He said, I've met big shots. You know what a big shot is? Big shot's a little shot that just keeps on shooting. That was Jack Hiles. Jack Hiles was the one that would walk down the alley and find some poor little bus kid holding onto a bus worker's hand, put his hanky on the ground, kneel on one knee and say, as his shoe's untied, I'm going to tie his shoe. He did that one day, and the little boy's mama said, Preacher, you can't tie everybody's shoe. He said, I'm not going to tie everybody's shoe. I'm going to tie his shoe. Say, why? Because he never forgot that he was the poor boy that grew up with the son of the neighborhood drunk, didn't even have shoes till he was 13 years old. He never forgot that. Not once. Huh. So, most of these self-styled evangelists and preachers and pastors and TV preachers, they want to get up and show you, well, this is the symbol of this, and this is the symbol of this, and every time you see, wait a minute, unless God said that, poppycock. Here in Hebrews, God talks about the high priest in the Old Testament. If you'll listen to me, I'm going to give you about a 5-minute teaching, and then we're going to jump into the preaching. In the Old Testament, you had something called the tabernacle. Everybody know what I'm talking about? All right. In the tabernacle, after the tabernacle, it was put into the temple in the Old Testament. In that tabernacle and in the temple, same furniture, same structure. You had something called the outer courtyard. That's where the golden laver was, where the high priest would wash. They also had the altar where the sacrifice was made. Then you had the actual building. When you walked into the building, there was a square room called the holy place. In that holy place, you had three pieces of furniture. As you walked in, on the right side, there was a table about the size of our Lord's Supper table. And there were laid out on that table every day 12 fresh loaves of bread, one representing each tribe of Israel, and Jesus as our bread, the living, the fresh bread of life. And I'm not going into that right now. On the left, you had a candlestick. It had 12 branches on it, representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Everybody doing okay? And right before you, there was a very thick curtain called a veil. In front of that, you had a little box, a little fireplace, so to speak. It's called the altar of incense. They would put incense in those coals, and the smoke would rise towards heaven, gave a sweet smell in the holy place. And it, God said it was a picture of the prayers going up to God. God said that. Man did not say that. Okay? Everybody look at me. Every priest could go through to this point. Only one time a year, the high priest could leave that area, go under that veil, go into the Holy of Holies, another room, and in that room was one piece of furniture. That one piece of furniture was called the Ark of the Covenant. It was about the size, about half the size of our Lord's Supper table there, and on it had a golden chair called the mercy seat. Inside that ark, there was three things. You had Aaron's rod that budded. You had a golden pot of manna, and all of a sudden, I forgot. Oh, you had the two tables of stone that had the law and the specifications of the temple written on it. They were written by the finger of God. Those were the only things in that. Once a year, the high priest was allowed to go into that Holy of Holies. The Bible says if anybody, including the high priest, went in there the wrong way or at the wrong time, God would kill him. I mean, flat out, kill him. The high priest had to go through a certain procedure in the month of April. We call it Passover time. Catholics call it Easter. Whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter to me. But at Passover time, resurrection time, the high priest would go out, wash himself. They would take the lamb, sacrifice the lamb, take the blood with him. By the way, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus that saves us. Amen. And the high priest would take that blood. He would pass through the holy place. He would go under the veil beside the altar of incense. He would go through there. He would take that bowl of blood and a hyssop weed. And he would take that blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And once a year, the Shekinah glory of God, the presence of God, would come down and dwell right there. And the high priest would come back out and raise his hands and say, "It is finished." Recognize that statement? See, Jesus, as the Lamb of God, was crucified at Calvary as our lamb. But he was also our high priest. And Jesus had the right to go into the Holy of Holies and apply the blood on the mercy seat. By the way, that's why when Jesus resurrected and Mary met him on the side of the road and she said, "Rabboni," and went to hug him, he said, "Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to the Father." We find out in the book of Hebrews, there is a tabernacle, the true tabernacle, in heaven. Everybody doing all right? God gave Moses the exact replica of what was in heaven for on earth. That true tabernacle is where the throne of God is in heaven. Now watch me. Here we go. If the high priest, from the moment he was washed until he came out of the Holy of Holies, if people, any human being, touched him and he went into there, God would kill him. He was not to be touched with human hands. He was to be totally cleansed. He had to start the whole process over again. That's why when Mary looked at him and said, "Rabboni," he said, "Don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to the Father." Watch this. He died as the Lamb of God. He resurrected as our high priest. He was on his way to heaven. He said, "You go get the disciples. I'll be right back." See, what did he do during that time? He left earth, went to heaven, stood before the Father, knelt at the mercy seat, and put his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Then he came back. And he could because it was finished. Okay, now listen to me. All of that was a picture. Listen to me. Did Jesus have to die over and over and over and over again? No. He said this Wednesday night when we did the Lord's Supper. They have stopped the sacrifices. All the sacrificing stopped, according to Colossians chapter 2. Can I tell you why? Jesus fulfilled it all. Old Testament looked ahead to Calvary at what Jesus would do to get them saved. Say, well, yeah, that's Old Testament, it's law, New Testament is grace. No, that's dispensationalism, Calvinism, and that's wrong. Amen. People didn't get saved by the sacrifices. Just like you don't get saved by taking the Lord's Supper. Old Testament, you had sacrifices. New Testament, we have the breaking of the bread and the shedding of the blood by the Lord's Supper. Old Testament sacrifices are the same as the New Testament Lord's Supper. By the way, that's why Jesus didn't come out of the tribe of Levi, or out of the tribe of Judah. He came, that's not right, folks. He did not come out of the priestly tribe of Levi. He came out of the tribe of Judah. Watch this. That's why the Catholic priesthood is wrong. They still follow the Levitical priesthood. Jesus was from Judah. He wrote a New Testament because we didn't need the old priests. We needed a high priest who was not made by man, but made by God. Everybody doing all right? That's why this preacher won't wear the phylacteries of the priesthood. I ain't wearing no dress. The way I preach, man, it would be indecent exposure for sure. By the way, that's why Jesus does not have to go every year into the Holy of Holies and shed his blood. That's why he is at the right hand of the throne of God. And when somebody realizes they need to be saved, God looks at the Son and says, Jesus looks at God and says, there's my blood, you have to save him. There's my blood, you have to save him. And it's living blood. Amen. Now, God tells us exactly what we need to know in his own words. How arrogant we are when we think we can tell others what God meant to say when he did not say it. Well, this is a symbol of this. If God didn't say it, shut your mouth. Well, some theologian who never won a soul to Christ in his life, trying to tell you what God said when God didn't say it. Here we go. We have no right to think we know what God did say unless he said it. Now, I want you to notice something that is amazing to me. We're transitioning into the actual sermon. Eternal. Several times here you see the word eternal. Other places you see the word eternal. Now listen to me for just a second. Do you know what the word eternal means? It doesn't mean that it lasts forever. That's the word everlasting. The word eternal means has no beginning and has no end. It means, listen to this, it has no time. There is no time involved in eternity. Everybody understand that? There is no time involved in eternity. Now, here's the sermon. You ready? God made time for the earth and for man. There was no time before Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. He talks about creation that first day. Watch this. He said, and the evening and the morning were of the first day. Time. Now listen to this very carefully. Man is bound by time. God is not bound by time. God made time so man could have dominion over the earth. God does not need time to rule anything because God is eternal. Now watch this. God made time for man to stay organized and see God's plan while he was not with him each moment of every day. Let me show you what I mean. Genesis records time with the first day of creation, the second day of creation. In the evening and morning were the second day. The evening and morning were the third day. Evening and morning were the fourth day. Evening and morning were the fifth day. And then the sixth day, God created man. And the evening and morning were of the sixth day. And on the seventh day, God rested. And God looked back, saw all that was there, and said, "It is good." Did you notice there's time there? Now watch this. let me make some of you smart people mad. Earth was made revolving on time so that man could follow God's plan of organization. Evolution is based on time. Creation was not. Oh, millions and millions of years ago, there was an amoeba. We don't know where it came from, but it was there. And it got tired of being alone, so it divided itself. Oh, it was so happy. That amoeba, after a couple million more years, those two amoebas swimming together decided it would be good to have more amoebas, so they had baby amoebas. And after millions of years, these amoebas kept reproducing and reproducing, but they got tired of swimming and they decided to jump up on the land. So they had to grow legs. So over millions of years, they grow legs as they're multiplying. That's evolution. Then they jumped up on the land, but their tail kept getting in the way, so they decided after millions of years to get rid of the tail, and they got tired of crawling on all fours, and after millions of years decided to stand up, and now they teach in universities. Evolution is all time-based. God is eternal-based. Everybody doing okay? Heaven is eternal. Did you know there's no sunrise and no sunset in heaven? Because it's not based on time. That's why God said there will be no need of the sun in heaven, because heaven is eternal. Everybody doing okay? Earth was given time because God gave man a free will to choose and knew man would fail and had to keep it going because God knew man was going to sin and we were going to mess this place up. And what God puts in motion, he keeps going whether you do it or not. Here's the problem. Man, listen to this, man wants to describe and understand God in terms of time. God is beyond and not bound by time. Evolution is all based on the fact that time allows self to adapt and move on. This is the ultimate of humanism. It means man trying to explain away there is no God. God is not bound by time. God is not bound by man. Did you know if you die tomorrow, the sun will rise? Did you know just because you're alive doesn't mean the sun rises and the sun sets? The universe does not revolve around you, and God does not need you to keep time going because God is eternal. Now, listen to me very carefully. Point number one. What God puts in motion is not bound by time and does not change. Let me say that again. What God puts in motion is not bound by time and does not change. Did you know the sunrise and the sunset God put in motion, it will not change? You say, well, it changes each day what time it has. Yeah, but it doesn't, we can predict it too. Say why? Because God put it into motion. And it doesn't matter who's alive or who's dead, the sun will come up and the sun will go down. Say why? Because God put it into motion. Did you know there's something called the water cycle? Everybody know what the water cycle is? All the water runs into the ocean, purifies itself, is evaporated, goes up into the clouds, disperses itself in the clouds, the wind blows the clouds around, and God puts the clean water back down on earth. All the rivers run into the seas, and it starts all over again. Do you know that there's not one less drop of water now on earth than there was in creation? Not one. Every drop of water is still here that God made. You say, why? Because God put it into motion. Oh, we have to clean the world, because if not, there'll be not enough clean drinking water. All the water's there. If man would read the Bible, he'd know how to get it. Brother Mike's been to Africa several times and drills wells for a lot of these heathen villages and places over there. And the reason they don't have it is because they won't read the Word of God. It's not that the water's not there. They're not obeying God to be able to get it. Boy, that's good stuff. Did you know that there are 24 hours in every day? And doesn't matter what day you're in, there's 24 hours in that day. And it doesn't change just because you arrived or you left. Did you know that the food chain still is in its existence? You know, if you shoot a critter, and you use, when I shoot a deer, I use every possible part of that deer that I can, but I ain't eating its guts. Sorry. Now, some of you rednecks, sorry, might even eat their brains. I ain't eating no stupid brain. I don't care if it comes out of a squirrel, an elephant, or a deer. I'm not eating brains. I don't care what you put with it. I've seen enough of it. I don't want any of that. Not going to do it. Say, what do? After I've processed the deer, I take it back out to the farm, usually where I shot it. And the farmer there has a big pile of brush and different things. He said, just dump the carcasses here. And the coyotes and the foxes and the skunks and all the different little critters come up. And it's amazing how much more they pick off that thing. Say, what is that? Part of the food chain. And what they don't get, guess what? The ants and all the bugs start eating the rest. You know that by spring, the only thing left is bone, and most of that's even gone. Yeah, mice and squirrels, man, they'll eat all that because of the calcium. Wow. Can I tell you what that is? The food chain, God keeping it clean. The seasons. Did you know the seasons are predictable? We just hit the winter season, December 21st. Did you know that April 21st, we start spring? Or is it March 21st? March 21st, sorry. I know it's every 3 months, but I can't count while I'm preaching. Amen. Did you know it doesn't matter when you think spring starts or when winter starts? It's here. Did you know that we can predict what the moon phases are every time? Say why? Because God put it in motion, not man. Did you know that the stars align at the same every day, and we can predict where those things are? Because God put it into motion. Oh, I could go on and on and on. By the way, did you know that salvation by grace does not change? Because God put it in motion. Did you know that if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot lose your salvation? Say why? Because it is not bound by time or by man. Well, hey, you got to get saved, but you got to do certain works or you could lose your salvation. Poppycock, that's a lie out of hell. That is work salvation. Did you know something? The moment my children were conceived, they were human life. Many of you ladies have had what we would call a miscarriage. Can I tell you something? Though you miscarried, guess what? That life is still alive and it's in heaven. Everybody doing all right? life was conceived. So, well, I didn't get to see it. Didn't matter. God knew it was conceived. There's been millions of babies aborted in this country in the last 30 or 40 years. Can I tell you something? Heaven's populated by every one of those. All right, hang in there. We're going somewhere. By the way, salvation's not based on getting baptized. I believe every Christian ought to obey God with their baptism. But guess what? The thief on the cross died and went to heaven that trusted Jesus as his Savior. He didn't get baptized. He didn't join the church. He didn't win any souls to Christ. He didn't even have time to do anything as a Christian. He trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Within hours at most, he was in heaven. Did you know that truth is eternal? By the way, that's why, boys and girls, listen to me. Lying is filthy. Lying is of your father, the devil. Telling the truth is always the right thing. By the way, mommies and daddies, when you're at work, tell the truth. According to the Bible, Deuteronomy 33:27, God is eternal. According to 2 Corinthians 1:18, truth is eternal. That means truth is eternal. Can I tell you something? Brother Barnes, 2 plus 2, 4,000 years ago, still equaled 4. I don't care what Common Core says, 2 plus 2 is 4. Well, I think it means 5. And according to the new Common Core, if you can show the teacher how you got to it, they have to accept it. That is a lie. Well, I have 11 fingers. You say, no, you don't. Yeah, I do. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. 6 plus 5 is 11. Now, some of you, that's going to take you about a week to figure it out. So girls that are blonde, let me explain that to you. That's not how you do it. Can I tell you something? Just because I can do that and I say 5 plus 5 is 11 and I can prove it and this is how I got to it, according to Common Core, they have to accept that as being right, but it's not truth. Everybody see that? You can count on God. Whatever he puts in motion, it's going to happen. That's why he said God is faithful. God is faithful. That means what he put in motion, it will happen. A good test to see if it's of God or of man is this. Is it based on time or is it eternal? Is it based on time or is it eternal? I was talking to a preacher boy not long ago. He said, well, I'm not sure if God wants me to pastor or be an assistant pastor. And I said, has God called you to pastor? He said, I think someday. I said, do me a favor. Don't pastor till you know. I said, I'm tired of pastors going from church to church to church to church, deciding, well, I don't like that congregation. And I think my welcome has been worn out here. Folks, I'm going to die here whether you kill me or not. I didn't come here to practice. I'm not a doctor. I'm not practicing medicine. I'm a Baptist preacher called by God to do what he said do. Whether you like it or not, you're going to get the truth. You might have a vote on certain things, but may I tell you what? You don't have a vote on what's preached from behind this pulpit. As long as it follows the word of God, like it or lump it, it's coming. Now, if I start preaching some wacky doctrine that you got to work to get saved, you have a right to vote me out according to the Constitution, and I want you to. But you better come with your gun loaded, because I know what my doctrine is. How about you? Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. A good test to see if it's of God, is it of time, or is it eternal? I told a young man recently, preacher boy, you thought I forgot, didn't you? He said, well, I'm not sure if I should go here or where I should go. I said, I don't think it matters where you go. to start your church. I think if you're doing the right thing, God will make the place revealed. 98% of the will of God is right there. If you get 98 out of 100, that's a still pretty good grade. I said, I think if you're supposed to be in Podunk Holler, Kentucky, and you're in Timbuktu, Tennessee, and you're doing what God said, I think God will forgive you. And I think God will bless you. Boy, I'm having fun. Number two, one of the greatest things about God is the adaptability of truth. The eternality of truth. Now listen to me very carefully. That King James Bible is an old book. But can I tell you something? It still applies to your life today. Can I tell you why? Because 2 plus 2 is still 4. And truth does not change. Well, fellas, I still think it's wrong for a man to have hair that's long. I think it's wrong for a man to have his hair cut like a woman. I think it's wrong for a woman to have her hair cut like a man. God said there's supposed to be a difference. Sodomy is still wrong. I think a man ought to dress like a man and a lady dress like a lady. That's in the Bible. Everybody doing all right? Say, well, I just don't agree with you. I don't care whether you agree with it. I don't care whether I agree with it. Oh, back many, many, many decades ago, there used to be a sign. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's wrong. God said it. That settles it. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. Man wants to decide what God's original intent was on this. And does it apply today? We don't need, by the way, that's what politicians are doing with the Constitution of the United States of America. We're trying to figure out original intent. Everybody doing okay? We don't need a new Constitution. We need to go back and apply the old one. We don't need a new Bible. We need to obey the old one. The reason man keeps rewriting the Bible is because he doesn't want to obey the old one. Boy, that's good. Let's realize that truth does not change. Did you know people got saved in the Old Testament the same way people get saved in the New Testament? By faith, Adam. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, Noah. Guess what? If that pulpit is Calvary and this is the Old Testament, people in the Old Testament got saved by looking ahead to Calvary. Jesus came, fulfilled the law, fulfilled all of it as he knew he would. We in our day look back at Calvary and get saved. But guess what? For by grace are you saved through faith. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, meaning he got saved. There's no such thing as Old and New Testament and dispensationalism. Dispensationalism is brought up by people who think they know more than God. According to Hebrews, you're not saved by the bulls and goats and the calves and all that stuff and all the blood sprinkled. It was a picture of what Jesus would do because he had not done it. It had to be more graphic. We have history recorded that he did do it. And that's why that stopped and we started the Lord's Supper. Boy, that's good stuff. Number three, and I'm done. Maybe. Don't put your shoes on yet, ladies. Number three. Man needs to learn. Okay, I'm going to say this so you're not thinking I'm looking at you. Man needs to learn to manage his time so he can do the most for God and for himself. Now you can't say, I was preaching at you. I wasn't even looking at you. Do you know that most of the errors and the sin you have in life is a time issue? Most of the problems you face in life are time problems. Let me show you what I mean. How many of you remember the older style cars before fuel injection? You had a timing belt. Some of you men know what I'm talking about. If something happened in your car and that timing belt slipped and your car got out of time, it was like riding a bucking bronco. And you had to have this little strobe light, and you'd put it on the one of the little wheels down in there that belt was turning on, and you had to adjust everything to where you got it to the right number so your car would run right. Say, what happened? Man, that thing would buck, and it wasn't sparking at the right time, and things were out of time, and it just wasn't working quite right. Can I tell you something? Most of the problems and turmoil in your life are timing issues. Did you know you're less apt to lose your job if you show up on time? Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. I know people that it doesn't matter what it is, they're going to be late for it. They're going to be late to their own funeral. They're going to have the dirt thrown in their hole before they put the casket in. Can I tell you something? It used to be in America, when you had an appointment, you showed up on time. Did you know most of you would have less financial problem if you had your timing right? That means if you show up to work on time, you won't lose your job, which means you'll have better finances and you're less apt to have financial trouble. Did you know that timing issues? That means this. American government needs to learn this. You earn the money, then you spend it. It's not spend the money and then figure out how to try to earn it. It's a timing issue. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. I'm just going to throw this out here. I get sick and tired of electronic checking. So many of you pay so much more for your banking because you have direct debit and the money doesn't hit it in time, and you're paying hundreds and sometimes thousands of dollars a year in fees because of bad timing. Well, it's just so more convenient. Who said convenient was right? Man, do I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. Some of you miss church a lot, or you don't get here, and then you wonder why you don't know what's going on and you have turmoil in your life. It's a timing issue. Did you know that faithfulness is a time issue? Being where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there. By the way, that goes for church, that goes for work, that goes for school, it goes for being at home. Doesn't matter where it is, being faithful. Financial errors are usually timing errors. I'm going to say something here. I'll be careful because I know we have children. Immorality is a timing error. Did you know there's nothing wrong with a physical relationship between a husband and a wife, but if you do it outside the bounds of marriage, it's a timing issue.
Yes, sir.
And it's wrong.
I
didn't say it. God did. I love this. Did you know that going to heaven or hell is a timing issue? You either trust God before you die and go to heaven, or you trust yourself and your timing and go to hell. And I don't care what priest shows up at your bedside or at the scene of the accident and puts a little piece of bread in your mouth and says kumbaya all over top of you and absolves your sins. Guess what? He's going to die and go to hell too. There's no such thing as last rites. Your last rite was before you sucked your last breath here, and whether you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior or not. That means you have to realize the truth before you die or you will go to hell. Oh, you're so mean. No, I'm not mean. I'm telling you what God said.
Right.
By the way, that penalty was not put on man. That penalty was put on Lucifer and the angels that followed him. And when man sinned, he chose to follow the same justice that needed applied to man because of what the devil did. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. It happened before the creation of earth. Notice that Jesus did not come and die for Lucifer and the angels. He did come and die for you and me. God loves you more because there was a separation and God wanted you back. He didn't want Lucifer and the angels back. He wants you back. Boy, that's a good thought. By the way, I don't care what your financial status, good or bad, truth does not change. Poor people die and go to hell. Rich people die and go to hell. Poor people die and go to heaven. Rich people die and go to heaven. Middle class people die and go to hell. Middle class people die and go to heaven. Do you know what the difference is? Whether you're trusting your works and yourself or Jesus Christ to get you there. That's it. By the way, that's why God said now is the acceptable time. You have to have the acceptable time to get eternal life. That's why, watch this. Did you ever wonder how Enoch and Elisha could leave earth, go to heaven, and be there for thousands of years? And during the tribulation, they'll come back and they have not aged because there is no time in heaven. There's no aging there. Did you know what? When you get to heaven, there's going to be no more aging. Praise God. He takes the pain away. He takes the sin away. And he takes all the effects of sin away. But guess what? There's no aging there because it's eternal. That's why in John chapter 3, it talks about eternal life and everlasting life. That's why when God looks at you after you get saved, you trust Jesus as your Savior, your sins have been washed away, and because He's ever present and eternal, He looks at you and does not see your past because He's eternal. That's why there will be no sun in heaven because Jesus will be the light because there is no time. Wow. Let me ask you a question. How are you using your time for God? I would say the average person, the average Christian in the average church does not spend 1% of their time with or for God. How much time did you spend in that Bible this week? How much time did you spend in prayer this week? How much time did you spend doing something with or for God? Can I tell you something? Let me throw a challenge. I was so proud I said something the other night about reading your Bible. Oh, I just can't read my Bible every day. Make a commitment to God. You don't put food in your mouth before you put that in your head. Every day. One of our good men texted me on Thursday morning and said, "Preacher, read my Bible and I haven't eaten breakfast yet, but I did have coffee." Well, brother, that is the water of life, amen? So that you can get the bread of life. Now listen to me very carefully. Let me throw a challenge out to you. Try tithing your time. Spend 2.5 hours with and for God every day. See how it'll change your life. Is it based on time or eternity? Some of you live your whole life for time. I'm living my life for eternity. Guess what? I get an awful lot out of my time because I'm living for eternity. I'm a very busy person. I stay busy. I run hard. I run fast. I work hard. I carry a big load. I carry a lot of pressure. But can I tell you something? I'm doing fine. I know how to manage time. You know why? Because I'm working for eternity. I don't let the little chihuahuas nip at my heels bother me. I don't let the big bulldogs Brother Otto's got a dog. It's about the size of a horse. I knocked on the door and I heard this roof, roof. I looked at Brother Mark and said, "You're standing in front of me." He's, "Oh, brother." And he starts backing up. I would have been a snack for his dog. But you know what? Didn't back up from him. I respected him, but I didn't back up. Say why? I know how to manage it. Did you ever notice it's the big dogs that usually have pretty good temperament? It's those little itsy bitsy little ankle nippers. Oh, shut up. Always biding for your time. Did you ever notice it's the little things that are barking at you all the time? Say why? Because you don't know how to manage your time, because you're focused on time, not eternity. When I heard that, woof, I was focused on eternity because I wasn't ready to go there yet. So I was going to manage my time and put Mark in front of me. Folks, time or eternity? Are you living just for time or are you living for eternity? If you start living for eternal things, listen to this, your time will be better managed. I promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're starting a new year. This is the fourth day of a new year. How much time have you spent with your God this year? Have you focused your whole life on just time or eternal things? Some of you are so worried about your time that you forget eternity. How about we focus on eternal things and then we can get our time fixed? Who'd say, "Preacher, if I died, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven"? Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, "Preacher, tucked away inside that truth, there was something that I need for my life personally, and I needed it"? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores of hands. Maybe it is you need to get some things settled spiritually between you and your God. Maybe you need to join our church so that you can be faithful, or maybe you need to obey the Lord in baptism. Maybe it's some other decision. I don't know what it is, but we can care for it today. Maybe you just need to come to this altar and make a promise to the Lord that you're going to focus more on whatever that was that you raised your hand about.